About a message I titled "Believe and Receive." Okay, believe and receive. Now, there's for years there's been sayings about that saying in particular that you believe and receive, kind of the word of faith mentality that you know you name it and claim it was another one that came out. And this really isn't along that line at all. It's more believing and then receiving the ministry and receiving then by acting on the ministry that God has given unto us. And so you'll see it as we go through it. But let's start by prayer. Father God, we're before you again, just as your children, Father. Several times today we've already made requests known unto you, Father, and I pray it again, Lord. We're requesting more from you because you have it all to give. So willingly and lovingly want to give unto us all that we need for this life, Lord. And we pray right here, Lord, for just your word to penetrate our hearts, for us to be it to be quickened in our hearts and made alive, Lord, to encourage us by faith to continue to stand and in faith, trusting in you, relying on you to receive from you what you've given and then to walk it out again by faith in you, Father, just trusting for you to carry it out. And Father, we're trusting and thanking you for that this morning. We give you this day and this service in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So, you know, our Christian walk is based on faith, right? We get saved by faith. You can work all you want and keep all the rules you want. It doesn't do you any good. When you get to the end, it's based on faith in Jesus. That's really what our life is about as a Christian believer. And we believe in a God whom we can't see, for the most part, to carry out things that we can see. Right, we pray for a loved one to get saved and to give their life to Christ, and then we begin to see it manifest kind of evidently in the visible when they begin to, you know, worship God or go to church or read their Bible or even when they're baptized. You know, how often, how much of a blessing is that when somebody says they believe and then they put it in action and say, you know, like for us, it was the boys coming, you know, down. Want to be baptized the next time you baptize in a river. You know, that's an outward expression. So you get to see the visible part of it. We cry out to God for, you know, in faith for things to happen like healing in our body, okay? Or a divine protection. You know, God protect them as they go. And, you know, then we see that happen. Or supernatural provision that God provides. You know, we need something and we have no way to provide for it and we see God do it. And repeatedly in the Bible, and obviously many of us have examples of it in our own life as well. So we're praying for something that is unseen to become seen or visible, tangible, something we can put our hands on. But really, our faith comes down to more than just believing. Okay, you can believe on something that is not going to manifest in the way that you think it's going to, but it comes down to more than just believing. Faith without works, you guys know James said very plainly, faith without works is dead, being alone. It takes a little bit of action added to it to say that I do have faith or to implement it. What you believe, in other words, matters, but what you do with what you believe matters too. Okay, let me give you an example, but doubt, for an example, is believing that something won't happen. Okay, it is believing, so you're believing for something, but you're believing it's not going to happen. You could say, I doubt it is going to rain today. Okay, I don't think it's going to rain today. Or you could say, I don't believe it is going to rain today. I don't believe or I doubt, meaning the same thing. Okay, I'm saying that it's not going to, but your actions or what you do with what you believe makes a difference. If I say, I don't believe it's going to rain today, while I'm walking around my house, gathering my raincoat and my umbrella and put, you know, make sure I got my mud shoes or whatever, if I do that, at the same time while I'm saying, I doubt it's going to rain today, but I'm just going to take this just in case, what am I saying? I'm saying, I don't know. I think it might rain today, so I'm just going to take my stuff just in case. And so even though you're saying I doubt it or I don't believe that, your actions aren't lining up with it. And Christians do this repeatedly. We say, I believe in God. I trust Him to provide for my needs. And then they go out and try to do it themselves. And, you know, we do this stuff over and over again. But it's part of what I'm saying, that we believe something, then we need to receive it, okay, and impart it into our life, and then we'll act on what we really believe. Okay, because what you act is more of what you believe than what you say you believe, right? You can say it, you can think it, but when you actually start doing it, then you're putting your faith in action with that faith, okay? Now, I'll give you an example. Jesus is our primary example for life, okay? When it comes to living out your Christian life, we have no greater example than Jesus Christ. He came to preach the gospel, the kingdom of God, and to be able to share that with us as a entire planet. And I'll explain more on that in a minute. But guys like Paul, the Apostle Paul, and John, and the other writers of the New Testament, they simply recanted what Jesus had taught them through his examples, and then they shared some of their own experiences that they had with what they had seen and experienced. They began to share that with others. The Apostle Paul was the one, if you remember, that said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ." In other words, he was just living out what he had been learned and taught, and you know, he studied the scriptures a lot, but he also experienced a lot. He's a guy that had blinders removed. He had received the grace of God and then went and traveled on several missionary journeys preaching the grace of God and teaching others about it. So he began to share from that, just said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." He believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He had been saved, so then he lived out his life in a way that was an example for others of how they should also live. Some people are not, you're saved, but you're not living like you are. Okay, you know, and there's a difference. You know, we get saved, we give our life to Christ, and some people, their life begins to change, and sometimes dramatically in a different direction. But for the most part, every one of us, when we give our life to Christ, we should be living like have given our life to Christ. There's something should be different about us. Okay, you know, I had a vision in the middle of the night about 18 years ago. Okay, I was living in Laramie, Wyoming, and it was so vivid, and it woke me up in the middle of the night. It was more of a dream, but I kind of woke up, and it was still there, and it was so real that I actually got up, and I started writing as fast as I could because I knew that this was something that was God speaking to me and something that eventually I would end up sharing. I was on this mountain in this dream. It was a massive mountain, and there was lots and lots of other people on this mountain. It was treacherous. It was kind of like dangerous, and so there was it almost resembled like a volcano kind of thing, and there was streams of fire, and there was rocks that would just fall, and people around me were perishing, and I was living in this fear kind of stuff. I didn't know what was going to happen. It was like we were all kind of wandering around hoping we wouldn't be next because something was falling, and trees and rocks and the fire, and it was just this crazy, crazy event. But nobody really seemed to know what to do. Okay, it was like we were all just kind of wandering around kind of aimlessly. We were wandering around trying to avoid the dangers, but there really didn't seem to be any way out of it. Okay, it was like we were kind of trapped on this mountain and nobody could really get away from it. And so you just had to kind of wait for your turn, basically, to die. Well, in my dream, I didn't want to die. I said, "I don't want to die," literally, and said, "I'm going to try to find a way out." And so that's what I did. I began to search for a way down the mountain. And that, to me, meant that was getting out. We were going to find an escape, get away to safety, because all we had to do was get off that mountain. And so I did. I walked through the rocks and jumped over the streams and whatever, and eventually I found my way to the bottom of the mountain. And immediately when I got to the bottom of the mountain, I turned around and I went back up the mountain. Because I felt and I heard it in my spirit in my dream, and this is what I got up and I wrote it down. God showed me the way down, or I had figured out how to get to safety for the sole purpose of going back up to get the other people to lead them to safety as well. And so it was like I was successful. I found the way out simply so that I could go back up and lead others out of there as well. Okay, immediately, like I said, once I had found my way down, I turned around, I went back up the mountain. The reason that I was successful in making it to the bottom was so that I could lead others on the right path. I knew the way. Okay, and in my dream, that's what I did. I went back to get them and began leading people down the mountain before I woke up again. Okay, if you've been saved today, you have a divine purpose to lead others and show them the way to safety. Okay? It is God has given it to you. It's a gift. We receive it. We didn't earn it, but we got it. It's a gift given to us so that we then can lead others to safety as well. The people around us are perishing. Okay? This is real stuff. It's real life. Okay? People live and we die. And people are perishing in eternity on the wrong side. But you have already found the way. And I believe it is your Christian ministry, your Christian calling, your Christian duty to show others the way as well. Simply point them to the same path that you found. Okay, His name is Jesus, right? We simply point people to Jesus. Jesus said in John 14:6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father except by me or through me. Okay, this is Jesus saying He is the way. He is the way out. He is the escape. He is the safety and the path to the safety that we need. You know, the Apostle Paul is a good example for us of receiving the ministry that God has given unto us. He was sharing and visiting with some of the elders of the church of Ephesus. I've said it before, but he was passing through the third time through and he didn't think he was going to go back to them again. He said, I know that there's some dangerous things ahead of me. As I go to Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit had told him that he was going to go through treacherous times, persecution, possibly even to the point of death. So as he's sharing with these elders, they were guys that he had kind of ministered and licensed and ordained, so to speak. And so he's sharing with them and in a way saying, I'm probably not going to be back. And so they knew that. There was an embrace and stuff the Bible talks about. But as he's sharing this stuff with them, this is what he says in Acts 20, verse 24. He says, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. That's his entire life was summed up in these few little sentences. Just saying, none of those other things move me because I am on a course, I am on a ministry that has been given to me and that I have received from Jesus, and I am determined to fulfill that at any cost. And so he was just going to go forth preaching and sharing the grace of God. He was determined to finish the course in the ministry which he had received from the Lord Jesus. So he didn't just believe that Jesus had given him a ministry. He actually believed it and received it as this is my life now. This is what I have been called to. And then he acted on it. He put it into motion and that's what he set his life to do. Okay, now I point out this conversation because Paul is such a great example for us. See, Jesus Christ has given you a ministry. He is offering it to you. When you gave your life to Him, you received or gained access to this ministry that He has given you. But it's not just enough to believe. You have to believe that you've been saved for a purpose, but then you have to receive that ministry and actually act on it to do something with what He has given you. You know, if you were placed into a position in your workplace, a lot of you are still in a working community, and if you're placed into a position and you're put into doing something that you've never done before, if you have access to your supervisor or the one that hired you or somebody that knows a lot about what you're supposed to do, you would find access to that person because they could really make your life easier. If you go to them and you ask, what exactly is it that I'm expected to do, and then how would you go about doing it, or how can I do it to the best of the way the job is supposed to be and to get it done right? Well, we know that Jesus Christ has given us a job to do and that He has made Himself immediately and easily accessible for us to ask and to seek and to go to Him to get details on how to go about it. See, if you remember, Jesus Christ did the job before, okay? He only had a 33.5-year lifespan on this planet Earth to go and to spread the message of God's kingdom and the grace of God that was coming through Him. He had that short amount of time to do that, and he was pretty effective at it if we're still Christians thousands of years later, right? He was able to preach the gospel in a way that ministered to people, Okay, they got that message across to them. Look at this in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. It says, "Seeing then that we have an high priest, a great high priest, that is passed into heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but he was like in all points tempted just like as we are, and yet he lived without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So you don't have to go through life just wondering what it is you're supposed to do or how to go about it. We can come boldly unto the throne of grace, come right back to the one that has given us that ministry and say, "Exactly how do you want me to do this?" And he will begin to speak and clarify and make things stand out in your heart, in your life, in your ministry of what God is calling you to do. We just go to the throne of grace and ask. If you listen to some of the words that came out of Jesus' mouth during his ministry, kind of how did he go about spreading the message and the gospel? You see that we can see how to do the job that he has given to us. He goes around telling people to believe and receive. Okay, and that was part of what he did. He wanted people not just to believe on him, but to believe and receive him. Okay, one example is when some people came to him, they were kind of struggling with receiving him. They believed, you know, that yeah, he was a good man. That's why they were in front of him. They wanted to hear what he had to say, but they were struggling to receive him. So they questioned him and said, you know, "What should we do in order to be able to work the works of God like you do?" You know, they kind of wanted to know more. His answer was John 6:29. He says, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent." In other words, believe on him. That was the work of God. And when that began and they did that, they would be able to further go on and do the things that God was calling them to do. When they came and they said, "Well, can't you give us some sort of a sign?" Kind of like God gave them, you know, manna to our fathers in the wilderness. He gave them a sign so that they would believe on him, that they would believe. Okay, here's how Jesus answered that in verse 35. Jesus said to them, he said, "I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that you also have seen me, and yet you believe not. All the Father has given me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." Next verse. "This is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he has given me I should lose nothing, but I should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." See, Jesus tells them the same thing that he wants us to tell others. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He has been sent by God, and everyone who comes to him in faith, he will save. Okay? This is his will, it's his desire, and that's why he came. That's what he told people repeatedly when they came to him. "I am the bread of life. I am everything," basically, is what he was saying. When you see him for who he is, and you believe on him, then you receive eternal life. Okay? A few verses later in 47, Jesus said again, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me has everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead, but this is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Okay, remember that we can go to Jesus and ask him specifically what it is that he wants us to do. Okay, in John 14, verse 12, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, he shall do also, and even greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Okay, a lot of Christians believe this, but they don't receive it. Because if we receive what that last verse says, we can ask anything in Jesus' name, and He will do it, bring it to pass, so that His Father gets glory. Because of your faith in Him. Because you're trusting in Him that He is the Son of God. You're putting all your eggs in that one basket, saying, I believe in Jesus, and as I pray, I believe that Jesus will help bring it to pass. He says He will do it because it will bring glory to His Father's name. He wants to be able to do that. Now, I'm going to kind of keep this message this morning a little short because there's only one point, only one thing that I want you to draw from it, one thing to take away from it. That is simply to believe and receive and act on the ministry that God has given you through Jesus. Okay, we have been given, the Bible says, the ministry of reconciliation. We have been given the ministry of reconciliation. To reconcile means to bring together. Okay, we have been given the ministry of reconciliation to help bring people together with God. Okay, that's our calling. That's the simplicity of what He wants us to do. The ministry that we are to do is as simple as the gospel message itself. It keeps ringing in my ears this last couple weeks what Margie said a couple weeks ago when she was telling a story about something she had heard about the woman at the well and that encounter that she had with Jesus when she was there at the well. Okay, she has this encounter and then she goes away and all she said to people, all she did was tell them about Jesus and said, come and see Him. Come and see Jesus. He's the man that told me everything that I ever did. Isn't this the Christ? And so all she did was go in and tell about the encounter that she personally had had with Jesus and said, He told me everything I ever did. He's supernatural. He's miraculous. He is the Son of God. Come and see Him and see if He's the Christ, because if He's my Christ, He's probably your Christ. And all she did was point them to Him. To point them to Jesus as being the one that is the one that was for them as well. Okay, now you've been saved on purpose to point people to Jesus Christ. He is the solution for the people that you need or the people around you that they need. I'll give you an example, but a few years ago when I lived in Laramie, Wyoming, one day I was down, I think it was on a Saturday afternoon, at a laundromat. I didn't have laundry in my apartment. And so I was down at the laundromat sitting there, and I always took my Bible and I studied and I'd read my Bible and I'd take notes on some scriptures and things that I was going through. Well, one day I remember there was a young lady in there that was, in my opinion, pretty obviously strung out on drugs. She was probably, she looked like she had been awake for several days. She was really, her eyes were all sunk in. She had the picked scabs all over her arms and stuff, and she was just pretty... You know, she was even still doing the sniffing and, you know, doing this stuff while she was sitting there. And I had been through some of that, and I knew. And so I looked at her, and I found my Bible cover. And inside the sleeve of my cover, a lot of times I would keep tracts. And so I dug around in there, and I found one on salvation, how to be saved, give your life to Christ. And I literally just walked up to this young lady. I took that little tract, and I wrote the name of my church on the back of it. I put a phone number in my name there that says, I can help you with this. And I walked up to that little girl and I said, there is a way out. His name is Jesus Christ. I know because I've been there and He led me out. And I handed her that track and I walked away. I didn't know what was going to happen from that, or I'd never really found out whatever happened with that young lady in her life. She was getting ready to leave and so out the door she goes. But I do know that God used me that day to either plant a seed in her life of Jesus Christ that she had never heard before, or He used me to water a seed that somebody else had planted. And so that little impact, that was just one example, but that's what God has called us to. Okay? Chaz told the story on Thursday night of a young lady that came into the place where he was working, that he thought maybe was 11, 12 years old, and she walks up to him and says, do you want to go to heaven? And hands him a track. Okay? And that's that same experience, that kind of amazement that Chaz, as he told that, he was just amazed at the boldness of this 11-year-old girl that was willing to go around and ask people if they're going to heaven and give them some information that would help them to get there. Okay, those kind of things continue to happen. Sometimes we forget about the fear that people around us are living in, that they don't know a way out. They don't know the way down the mountain. They've been spinning around in circles, can't figure out how to get away and how to get down. But God already showed you, and you can lead them on that same path that you used to get out, which is Jesus. You know, I know Bob and Linda had shared this week about losing a family member, but that they were so comforted because they knew that Linda's sister was a believer, that she had given her life to the Lord Jesus Christ. She had called on Him as her personal Lord and Savior. So she's no longer suffering, but she's in paradise worshiping the Master forever and eternity. Okay? You don't have to have everything figured out to be to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have the one thing that you need, which is a testimony of an encounter that you have had with Jesus Christ. You were on your way to hell. You had an encounter with Jesus, and now you're on your way to heaven. That's a revelation knowledge. That's something that you can share with anybody, that He can change where you're going to end up for an eternity. And that's all you have to do to tell people. Okay, you are saved by grace through faith in the completed works of Jesus Christ, and that's all you need to know. You point people to Him to say, He did it for me, He can do it for you, He can do it for anybody. Okay, it doesn't matter who you are qualified, and you are capable of pointing people to Jesus Christ. Mark 11:24, one of my favorite verses in the Bible again, but therefore I say unto you, Jesus said, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Well, today I'm talking about believing and receiving the ministry that has been given to you by Jesus Christ. If you keep that ministry that He has called you to in the forefront of your mind, in everything you do, in your work, and as you're playing, and all the things you're involved in, when you keep that ministry in front of you, you will change your world. You will not have any choice but to begin to share with people about what Jesus has done in your life. Okay, I want to end with this scripture in Luke chapter 8. You know it probably as the parable of the seed, as Jesus explains it. But He says the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those that fall by the wayside are they that hear, but then comes the devil and he takes the way of the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They that are on the rock are they which when they hear, they receive the word with joy, but these have no root, which for a while believe, but in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard, they go forth, but they're choked with the cares and the riches and pleasures of this life, and they bring no fruit to perfection. But this is us. Verse 15. That on the good ground are they which within an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. That means receive it. We keep it, and we bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he has lighted a candle, covers it with a vessel or puts it under his bed, but he sets it on a candlestick so that they which enter in may see the light. See, when you receive the ministry that Jesus Christ has given you, then you will act on it. You will do something with that. You've been saved on purpose so that you can lead the way for others, so that you can show them the way to Jesus or point them to Him, which will lead them to whatever it is that they need. You know, it's not just the pastor's job to share people, to point people to Jesus. That little girl that was asking people, do you want to go to heaven? She wasn't a pastor. You know, when I shared with the gal in the laundromat, I wasn't a pastor. I was just a churchgoer. I think I might have been playing drums by then with the church. But that was about it. But I just knew that I loved the Lord, and I knew what He had done in my life, and I knew what He could do in hers. That's all I needed to know. Okay, when I had the vision of leading people down off the mountain, I was not a pastor. I was just an everyday person going to church, just like you guys. Okay, I just knew that I loved the Lord, and God began to speak to me, and He showed me something like that to say, this is what I've called you to. This is the ministry. We've all been given that same ministry. We just have to set our mind and put that ministry in the forefront of our mind to to believe and to receive and then to act on what He has given us. It is a God-given calling. It's a precious ministry, a precious calling that we each have. Hallelujah. Father God, we praise You in the name of Jesus. Grateful for Your word, grateful for what You've given unto us, Father, that You have entrusted us with such a powerful yet simple message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That good news that He saves by grace through faith, not of our works, so that nobody can boast about it, Lord. We thank You that You have given it unto us and that we can simply share that with other people by pointing them to the same path that You gave to us, that we just point them to Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And we can point people to Him, not about us, but about Him, and just say, He's the one that can do it. Father, I pray that You'll encourage us during this day and during this week, Lord, that as we encounter people around us, that we will be feel obliged to share with them what You have done in our life. You know what? God answered my prayer when I prayed this, or God showed me this, or, you know, God did this in my life. And that we can just begin to share that with the people around us. Lord, Your word to us is so simple and true and so powerful in the way that it changes lives, Lord. I pray that You'll use each one of us in that way during this week and beyond, Lord, that we continually put Your ministry that You've given to us in the front of our mind. Father, we're grateful, we thank You, and we praise You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.